Let's just take a moment and pause as we come to our worship. Gracious, loving, holy, giving, magnificent, tender, kind-hearted, generous God. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for a new day. Thank you for the wind and the rain and the sunshine. And thank you that we can come this morning to celebrate harvest, to celebrate all that you have given us, your provision for another year. And Lord, as we join in worship, we're very conscious of those of our number who are missing, and whether they be on holiday or absent because of old age or illness. Lord, would you be next to them? Would you have your arms around them? Would you allow them to be conscious of your presence today, we pray. Lord, for others who we may be missing or wondering where they are today, Lord, thank you that you know where they are. And Lord, that even those of us that are here, Lord, you know where we are in mind and spirit. And we ask that we be aware of your presence today, Lord, as we bring our worship to you. Holy Spirit, would you anoint our praise? Would you enliven our hearts and minds so that we bring a true sacrifice of praise to you today? Amen. We're here to bring the best of all that we're given, and we've got an amazing display. Thank you to all of you who came and helped put this together yesterday. So we're here to celebrate not just harvest, but in this time of year, we kind of celebrate all of the goodness of creation, don't we? And I just love driving through the forest and all the colours at this time of year. And it does really feel like the whole of creation is praising God, doesn't it? So what can I give? What can I bring? What's my harvest offering? So it got me thinking back to when was the first harvest ever recorded? And I think it's in Genesis chapter 4, where we see both Cain and Abel bringing their gifts to God. And if you want to follow, it's right at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4. And I'm just going to read verses. And then there'll be a couple of other short readings as well. One's from the Gospel of Mark and one is from 2 Samuel. So the first one from Genesis 4. Now, Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favour on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favour. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, it is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." And as we know, then what happened was that Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And I've always felt a little bit sorry for Cain, because I think, well, what did he do that was so different? But if we look carefully at his offering, It says, in the course of time, he brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Whereas Abel sacrificed the firstborn from his flock. And so I thought, well, what's the difference here between worship that's acceptable and worship that's not acceptable to God? And I think the difference is that Cain brought to God out of the abundance of his provision. And yes, he brought them as an offering to the Lord. But it was obviously his heart that was not in the right place. What's the difference with bringing the firstborn? Well, I think there's a risk involved, isn't there? He didn't know whether he was going to get any more healthy young from his stock. But true worship comes from the heart. And true worship comes from a place of trust. Let's look at Mark chapter 12. Again, probably a story which many are very familiar with. And verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." This lady recognized that all she had came from God. She recognized her total dependence on him. And gave it all. True worship comes from the heart. The rich people threw in large amounts, maybe thinking that they were doing a good thing. But again, they were giving out of their riches. And were they giving from the heart? Well, only Jesus knows, doesn't he? And King David knew this as well. So let's turn to 2 Samuel. Sorry, a bit of jumping around this morning. Don't normally do this, but it was thematic. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And we're looking from verse 18. And so the back story to this little episode is that David and his army have sinned before the Lord, and as judgment, God has punished the nation of Israel with a plague. And David realized that he has sinned, that he's done wrong, and starting from verse 18, it says, "On that day, Gad went to David and said to him, 'Go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite.' So David went up as the Lord had commanded through Gad. When Arauna looked and saw the king and his officials coming towards him, he went out and bowed down before the king, his face to him. He said, 'Why has my Lord?'" "Your threshing floor," David answered, "so I can build an altar to the Lord, so that the plague on the people may be stopped." Arauna said to David, "Let my lord the king take whatever he wishes, and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and here are threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood. Your Majesty, Aruna gives all this to the king. Aruna also said to him, your God. So Aruna recognized the importance of the sacrifice. He respected David's tradition and David's need to worship. And as the king, he wanted to honor him by giving it to him. But the king didn't take the easy option, and we continue. The king replied to Aruna, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So David and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered his prayer on behalf of the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped. So King David had the desire to build an altar to the Lord after a plague had devastated his people. And Aruna, who was also a king, had offered the use of his threshing floor, oxen and wood for the altar as a free gift. But David insisted on paying for the items. He didn't want to offer God something that cost him nothing. He wanted his sacrifice to be a genuine offering of significant value. So he paid, he purchased it. Oh, wondered what was going on. I'm running out of battery, apparently. This is awkward. Okay. Yeah, this thing's fighting with my hair all the time. So. Okay, let's recap. So David wanted to build an altar. He didn't have anywhere, but he was told to go and ask Aruna for the land, and Aruna offered him everything that he needed as a free gift, and most of us would say, yeah, great, thanks very much, wouldn't we? But David recognized the value of true worship. He wanted his sacrifice to be a genuine offering, and so he paid the going rate. We don't really know how a shekel relates to today's currency. It tells us about how much it is in weight. But I think we can assume that it was a good price. And David built the altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, which pleased God and ended the plague in Israel. And I know the whole thing about sacrificing animals and making offerings is not our culture, but it was the culture of the time. And I think we get the principle, don't we, from those three readings, that our worship is not true worship if it doesn't come from the heart. Our worship is not true worship if it doesn't cost us something. Our worship isn't true worship if we're offering something that actually belongs to somebody else. Our worship needs to come from the heart. So let's pause and pray. Lord, you are a God of great abundance and great provision. You are a God who looks after your people. You are a God who is trustworthy to those who put their trust in you. There's a verse in the Psalms that says, those who trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. Lord, forgive us when we have not put enough trust in you. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we have given out of our plenty and not offered you our first fruits. Forgive us, Lord, for offering you the scraps of our day instead of our first moments. Forgive us, Lord, for offering financially what we can spare. Help us to be generous givers, Lord. Whether that be financial or time or using our talents. Help us to bring it all to you, recognizing the abundance of what you've given us. Amen. One of the ways that I like to celebrate creation, and I guess I see it as giving an act of worship, is by taking photos. I love just capturing anything interesting or beautiful on my phone while I'm out walking the dog. And so I've put some of them to music, well, with a bit of help from my resident tech expert. And so this is for you now. Some of my pictures just celebrating creation, celebrating harvest, celebrating the beauty of the earth. And All Things Bright and Beautiful is playing in the background. Feel free to sing along if you want to, or just listen and enjoy the photos and celebrate creation with me. You might recognise one or two of those scenes. Something else that I like doing at this time of year is when I'm out walking is collecting things. Oh, it's all right. It hasn't got dog poo in it. Do you want to take one? Conkers, yeah. Oh, the bit of string. Don't to pass them along. And yeah, Dave thinks I'm a bit mad because this time of year, whenever we go out for walks, and there's conkers in all of my pockets. Well, they're not so common. Yeah. They're everywhere, aren't they? And they're all different. And I was thinking as we were walking yesterday, we passed a conker tree. Actually, David had a little sit down, and because we were at Prinish Abbey near Gloucester, and Dave was sitting and having a little quiet time, and I was walking with the dog up the road, and he didn't know I'd found a whole load of more conkers. But they really kind of spoke to me. It's a bit of a parable of life. Some that were fallen by the side of the road, or some had landed on the hard surface straight away, and they'd split open. Some had clearly been driven over and were quite crushed, and you won't find any of those in their bag. Some had fallen by the side of the road on the grass verges, and were tucked in little corners. They'd maybe bounced, or they'd just been lucky where they landed, and they were protected from anything that was going to damage them. And I thought, they don't get a choice where they land, do they? They don't get a choice whether they're seen and treasured, or whether they're hidden, or whether they get squashed. And some are flat on one side because they've been crammed into their case with another one. And I took this out of my pocket because I didn't want to put my hands on it by mistake, because it's really quite spiky. But I just thought that was beautiful. Two still in their case together. And they're still shiny as well. There we go. They can stay there. And I love picking them up and having them in my pocket because of they're really tactile, aren't they? Some of them are wrinkled and dry and faded. And these are the ones that have been removed from their natural habitat and kept indoors. and they've started to dry out because of the warmth of the inside. And they do shine up a bit if you polish them, if you put a bit of work in. But if they're just left, then they dry out, don't they? And I haven't played Conkers for years, but I used to when I was young at school. And that was great fun, wasn't it? And I don't think it's encouraged these days. So sorry, no string, Brenda. But yeah, I do remember doing that. But I still love Conkers, even though I don't play games with them anymore. They still speak to me and carry meaning and remind us actually that these facts of how they are and how they've been treated, it's a bit of a parable of humanity, isn't it, and the whole of creation. We're all different. Some of us seem to land in good places without any hard work of our own. Some of us, no matter, despite our efforts, seem to get driven over and crushed, and we don't necessarily get a choice. And some of the things that happen to us in life are no fault of our own. And I love just allowing nature to speak. But let's just pause and think about how we are all different. Some of us are maybe not what we would consider perfect shapes, but just as God has created each of these individually, He has created each of us individually. And just as He sees where each conker, each seed lands, He sees where we land, and He sees what we have been through. And He gave Himself to redeem us. So quite a different Easter, quite a different harvest message. But as we come to communion, we think about this God who made us individuals. And we can look at the harvest produce, we can look at these amazing squashes and see, again, all different shapes and sizes and weird and wonderful creations. And we can look at each other and we're all different shapes and sizes and colours and lumps and bumps. And some of us think that other people are perfect and other people think that something else is good or bad. And we're all different, and we are part of the rich beauty of creation. And God made each of us as we are to contribute to the amazing display that is creation. Thank you, Lord God, for your creation in all of its goodness. Thank you for how you speak to us through it. Thank you for the way that you teach us truths through the little things of nature. Thank you that you give us so much beauty to enjoy. Amen. We will pray for our world. Lord, we think of those countries where crops have failed, where there is no harvest. Maybe they couldn't even plant, or crops have been destroyed, or animals killed by war, floods, drought, wildfires. Lord, we think of farmers in our own country on the brink of suicide because they may feel their work is futile and don't know how to support their families. And Lord, for the rest of us who put cheap produce over the welfare of producers and the welfare of the countryside and of your creation. Lord, please forgive us. we think particularly of those who've been attacked and terrorised this week, Lord, while bringing their worship to you. God of justice and mercy, bring to justice the perpetrators. Show your love to those who spread hatred, lies and division. Forgive us when we have not stood up for truth and right or chosen easier paths. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have no harvest to celebrate, no crops to gather, or labour to pursue. We pray for those who live on land that is hard to farm, scratching out a living in a hostile soil amidst rocky ground and scorching earth. We pray for those who scratch no living from the earth, where the whole world seems to squeeze the life from their bodies. We pray for those who have left their homes, driven by war or want, to become refugees, aliens, depend on others. We pray for those without work, women and men made redundant by changing needs, children living off their wits in the streets of sprawling cities. We pray for those with no energy for praise, whose bread is bitterness and whose water is tears. We confess our part in the sin of the world and pray that you might grant us a vision of justice as well as charity and strengthen our readiness to change as well as to help. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And Lord, we pray for the peacemakers in those countries where there is war and division. We pray for world leaders to have wisdom and incisiveness and humility. We pray for those whose hearts are intent on evil and greed and destruction. And ask, Lord, that you bring justice and turn those situations around. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for all your love to us. Please accept the worship of our hearts and the offerings of our hands, and most of all, the offerings of our lives, Lord. Everything we give back to you is just a small token of what you've given us. Thank you. Amen.